Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 9 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled, Lord, I Am Willing. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So the clash of the three kingdoms, I call it the three sides, is number one, the kingdom of man, number two, the kingdom of darkness, number three, the kingdom of God. So there are basically three narratives there of bringing definition unto the object. In other words, this day and time, there is a new narrative trying to be brought to the object of male and female. Does everybody get that? There is a new narrative trying to be brought to our government, to right and wrong. The narrative is the battle is over the narrative is trying to be changed to one of these three. Now, it just so happens the kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of man and the kingdom of darkness, we got a little problem here. They have joined forces. Anybody hear what I'm saying? These two narratives have joined forces. Now, they're in opposition, but they have joined forces. So now we find ourselves where you find yourself either in the kingdom of darkness or your own kingdom of man. As Christians, we have a mixture of the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. We have tried to bring God into our kingdoms instead of us going into His kingdom, and we've made a mess. We've just made an absolute mess. And so I want us to see that understanding of what's actually happening before us. And what we have to decide is, what is our narrative? What is your narrative? What are you defining the object with? Now, we want to have sympathy upon the disenfranchised or to those that are tangled in this side of darkness or the side of man. We have a compassion for it. And we want to have a compassion. But listen to me. The Word of God cannot be... the Word of God cannot be... The Word of God is a concentrate that is not to be watered down. You have to take it in its concentrated form before it'll do its job. It won't do its job when you water it down. You have changed the narrative of the will of God. You can't do that. But we find ourselves trying to water it down so it will be received by the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of man. So we think, well, I'll just do it easy. I'll do will of God light. So, I mean, you know, I'm going to be cool with it, and I'm going to do will of God light so that I will be accepted in this culture. Won't work. Just won't work. So, now keep that in mind as we move through here. Now, the battle is for dominion, the dominion over the object. Who is going to define the object? We got three groups, three sides trying to define it. So we have to decide what narrative are we going to go with. Now, you can do a mixture of a narrative, your own mind, your own thinking, and mix a little God with it. I'm just telling you, it won't deliver the intent of the Word of God. It just won't do it. You've got to swallow it head and all. When you take the Word of God and swallow it, it's going to burn going down, and it's hard to swallow. It's bigger than you can swallow and all of the above. And the pain will be emotionally, you'll feel the worst you've ever felt and the happiest at the same time. Now, have you ever, this picture is... To me, the will of God's like the equation on the board. Right? It's like, come on, God. I mean, we can know the will of God. That's really cool. That's really neat. I'm so excited. So then when I look at it, it's like I'm seeing this equation on the board. I'm like, well, God, I want to know your will, but it sure does seem complicated. And so we sat back and we look at this equation of what God's saying. It looks very overwhelming. But we want to see this. The battle is more about us finding the will of God. Here's the battle. We're looking for the narrative of the will of God. I already know what my will is. Do you know what your will is? See, we got another battle here. It's my will versus God's will. I don't know if yours is in conflict or mine. Mine's the exact opposite, if you want to know what mine is. So the battle is more about us finding the will of God. And you've got this huge equation. Seems impossible, but we want to find the will of God. Now, it is more about the battle with finding the will of God than it is about finding out our future. So this narrative is we're trying to create this utopia of a world or an earth or whatever by creating this future that's a perfect future. So mankind wants to make the world into Disney World, and so we're trying to create this. So, but we're concerned about our future. So our narrative tends to bend with what our prediction of our future we want it to be. In other words, you will fit your narrative into what you want your future to be instead the narrative of the will of God. I'm just letting you know how our human psyche works. Now, our future is in the will of God. Just read the whole thing. The battle is more about us finding the will of God than it is about finding our future. For our future is in the will of God. So, you can have your cake and eat it too. You just got to get it in the right order. You don't find your future and then add God's will to it. You find the will of God and your future's in His will. That's the progression, the spiritual progression of what we're looking for. Now, God created the earth and watch this one. Now watch it. Wants to relate with man because it is his will in the earth for its future. Are you with me? God created the earth and he wants to relate. Now, God's getting into the relation business here. Did you know that God doesn't have to relate to anybody or anything? But he has something in his nature that he wants to. It's a want-to thing with God. He created us because he wanted to. So automatically we realize that the value that we have to God is greater than we have of ourselves. You see, you have great value with God. He created you. Why? Because he wanted to. Now the enemy's constantly trying to make us feel worthless or non-accepted, right? I don't know of anybody that doesn't have to deal with with rejection. Everybody has to deal with rejection. But let me tell you something. This thing's aggravating me. Now, let me tell you something. People experience more rejection than is given. You hear me? People experience more rejection than is given. Why? Because it's built in our fallen nature to expect rejection. So you're being rejected by people that aren't really even rejecting you, you just think they are. When somebody rejects you, you'll know it, right? You don't have to make it up, even though we all do. Yeah. Am I lying or am I telling the truth? Are you with me? Of course it's the truth. Now, so we got to realize there's more rejection experienced than there is given. So all of a sudden, we realize we're creating a narrative of rejection that's not really there. So that's the enemy's ploy. That's his path. That's his way. Now, let's get into the positive side. God wants to relate with man because it is His will in the earth for its future. God has a plan for the future of the planet. He has chosen to relate through having a relationship. God relates through a relationship. That's what a relationship is. It's a relating. It's a conversing. So God is huge into relationship. He is so huge in a relationship that when we get it wrong, He still likes us. Say, God's into relationships. He's not into us being perfect to have it. You missed a wonderful place. Say, glory, hallelujah. You see, He... Is anybody getting it? God's into relationships. God's into relationships more than He is into perfection. We have this idea we got to get it just right before God receives us or accepts us. God gave up on that one 2,000 years ago.
That's right.
Yeah, you know. He said, no, I'm going to go do it right for them, and if they'll accept it, I took the test for them and I did it right, I'm going to say it's their grade. Isn't that cool? I think it's such a... God cannot go into business because He will go broke with His rate of exchange. Now, here we go. Can we know the will of God? Yes. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. It doesn't say that you're changed. Here, I was talking about a transforming. That means you're formed different by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't say your looks, it doesn't say anything, but it's your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. So can we know the will of God? Not only can we know the will of God, we can know the perfect will of God. Is that not interesting? How we can know the perfect will of God. I'll tell you one, did you know the perfect will of God is for all men to be saved? That's the perfect will of God. Watch this. Growth is not always proof of God's will, but fruit is. We went over that last week. Do you remember that teaching? Growth is not, we want to say, well, look, this is growing, this is doing good. Look how good they're doing. They're going yada, yada, yada. Just because you have growth doesn't mean that it's God's will. Usually, the more you got, the more you got to give away anyway. So, now watch this. The way we understand God's will is very important. Just because it is the will of God, it does not mean it will happen. Now, we went over this since the beginning of this teaching, and it's imperative that we get it. God's will does not always happen. And you're like, well, wow, God's will doesn't happen. I don't have a chance. Right? But there's a reason, and I've went over God's will, and I went over how in God's will, for some reason, He decided to start pulling man in on his decision-making. I'm like, wow, God, you really took a chance, right? You really stepped out on a limb there, God, to bring us into your equation on planet Earth. Now, the will of God and the free will of man, here it goes. Sometimes God's will involves the free will of man. In these cases, He makes His will known by some means, and then man chooses to agree and participate or disagree. So here God brings man into it. Here's a verse I used this week. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Now that's God's will. Well, what did man do? He ate the cotton picking apple. So was God's will accomplished there? No. Man's free will came in on the scene, and so therefore, God's will didn't happen. Now, there's one thing about God. Let's get this one. There's one thing about God. What we mess up, He'll fix up. It's just the way, you just well get it. You say, well, you're not worth it. Well, I don't know about all that. I'm just saying about the will of God. The will of God is that we make it. The will of God is that everybody makes it. I taught you last week how God is bringing you into whom you were in His mind before the foundations of the earth. Was anybody here for last week? Okay, I brought you into that teaching on how we need to understand where we're headed. So when we see that, God's bringing us somewhere. God's will is not always happening on the earth. We know this. You cannot look at things that are going on in the world and assume that everything is God's will. So we find that we're in a planet, we're in a place, we're living on this globe, and we're followers of God, and we want to say and to think, well, we look around us and say, well, how could God let this happen? Or, you know what I'm saying, somebody's being killed or children being stolen. Or we're saying, well, how can God let that happen? Number one, God's will's not always happening. That was not God's will. We've got to change the way we think. You've got to change and how you're thinking. You're on a planet that's not user-friendly. Anybody noticed? I know we're trying to make it that way, but it's not. It's not a user-friendly planet. And we're in a situation here where God has called us in on having dominion over this earth with Him. So, see, this is not... Christianity is not about just getting your sins forgiven and kind of ducking every time you do something wrong to see if God saw you or not. That's not what this is about. This is about the sin issue is about us getting things right with God so we can know His will. That's what it's about. And it is an incredible ride when we live the Christian life in the will of God. He'll take you where... places where no man's ever been, right? So where Christianity is left wanting is it's never tried. It's never truly tried because the will of God is awesome. It's incredible, and it'll take your breath away, and it'll scare you at the same time. God will ask you every day to ante up all that you've got. That's right. Now, but it's some kind of a trip. Now, here we go. God does not demand controlling of everything. If He did, we would not have the ability to be free and make our own choices. So I'm sure that you're getting that concept. You cannot look at things that are going on in the world and assume that everything is God's will. Why? Because God's will does not always happen. Why? Because He wants to bring us into the equation of running the earth. Now get it. Please get me there. God wants to bring us into the equation of running. It's called dominion over the earth. He created us, male and female, to have dominion over the earth with Him. Yes, this includes government. I'm sure somebody asked. Well, I thought the church was supposed to be separate from it. No, you can't take anything out of there. He's talking about raising elephants, milking cows, and senators of the United States government. He's talking about all of it. I've heard separation of church and state till I could, let me get redneck, puke. There's no separation of anything. We're here to have dominion over the earth with God, period. Is everybody with me on that one? Here we go. Now remember this. God's will was and is to share His dominion of the earth with His people. Can the will of God be stolen? Okay, a little thought here. The devil is constantly stealing the will of God from the people on the earth. Now, God has, in the will of God, the enemy is constantly trying to steal it out of your life. You kind of know what it is back here. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You kind of know what it is. You got a little struggle between what you want to do and what the will of God is. There's this little struggle that goes, well, I'm not really sure what the will of God is. Yes, you are. Hush, come on. Just take your will out of the way and it'll shout. It will. It'll just shout at you. And I mean, I'll even go this part. I mean, God's wanting me to be a missionary or preach. You don't have to be a missionary or preach and just quit everything you're doing and go do that. You can missionary and preach and milk cows. I milk 300 cows, farm 700 acres of land, and I preach more than most preachers. So that's not it. You can't say that. And if I get a little more, I might go full time. So Restoration is restoring things and people back to the will of God. So here we go. We'll get into restoration. Now, this is the fun part. Can somebody hear me? This is why Acts chapter 2 happened. That's why he poured out his spirit. And I can feel it right now. Restoration is restoring things and people back into the will of God. I want everybody to be in the will of God. I want to be in the will of God. When we're outside of the will of God, sometimes we need a little help in being restored back into the will of God. That's where the church comes in. Restoration is God's will, but we must believe this. Now follow me here, please. This is a huge problem. We like to say God wants to restore some things and not others. Listen, God would save the devil if he'd give in. That's right. See, nothing's off limits. I know what God's will is. He wants to restore all things. So you got to get in with the program now. You can't exclude one sin over another. You say, well, Alan, can somebody go too far? I have to say, I don't know. You'll have to take it up with God. My commission is to restore all things. That's all I can say. I know what my marching orders are. Watch this. You might enjoy this. Therefore, we are never to give up on anyone. Now, here's what happens. The anointing will stop at the last person you gave up on. Now, just trust me. Just trust me. Why is the enemy wanting us to give up on people? Because our anointing stops at the last person that you gave up on. I can give you a biblical example of that. So are you with me? We do not have permission to give up on anyone. Can I get one amen? Going once, going twice. Give me two amens. I need an amen. Okay, I'll turn this into a cow auction. This is not optional. We do not have permission to give up on anyone because it violates that God's wanting to restore all things. So, when I'm said restoration is God's will, but we must believe this, I'm saying a whole lot. You got to believe it. You say, well, Alan, he's not worth saving. Well, you weren't either. That's right. I felt a witness, but I don't think it was the Holy Ghost. Now, here we go again. If we do, we will lose our job or the anointing. We got a job description, and it's to restore all things. If you don't know what the job description of this church is, it's to restore all things. Well, what about this one or that one? Other way, it's to restore all things. We have a job description of restoring those that's been sick of COVID. You can't exclude COVID. You can't exclude anything. You have to believe that God has no limits on what's to be restored. It's those limits. You got to hear me here. If we put limits on restoration, you can't get into the anointing. The anointing is outside those limits of restoration. If you put limits on restoration, you can't get to the anointing because the anointing's further out than restoration. When you go, you say, Alan, what do you mean? The will of God exceeds restoration. The will of God includes restoration, but it's much bigger than restoration. Can you hear me? So when something's restored, it goes beyond and on into the will of God. Why do we restore it? So the will of God can be accomplished in someone's life. Is anybody with me? So we see how this anointing works, and it exceeds restoration. And so, therefore, we cannot put limits to restoration and get into the anointing. You have to catch what I just said. I can't teach it. You just got to get it down in your gizzard somewhere. Now, here we go. Now, Zechariah 9:12 says this, "Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Hey, yo, glory, whoa. I thought he was going to restore what was broke. Yeah, and then double it. See how you got to go beyond restoration? Huh? About near make you want to get sick or sin or something. Because he's going to restore double. He's not trying to fix you back to where you were. He's going to fix you back to where you were and double it.
Come on.
Listen, it doesn't work in your brain. You look so confused to me right now. I know it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. Not only that, it's not fair, bless God, that God will restore to somebody that failed double, and here I have been faithful.
Come on.
That's right. That's how we think. You ain't been that blame thankful. Don't get too proudful about it. Now, here we go. Psalm 71 declares, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. That's pretty low, isn't it? Hey, church, here's what we got to catch. The church will never be the church. What we're after is to feel his presence and yada, 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 all this spiritual stuff, but it won't happen outside of restoration. The reason the presence and all that glory comes is to restore. When the presence and the glory's here, it's going to double it. Anybody with me?
Yeah, come on.
Listen, he doesn't double it against your will. A lot of you got another double laying out there, not even picking it up. God's restored you, but you got a double laying out there. But you don't believe it. You got to add faith with it. And then here it comes.
Come on.
I know I sound crazy. I sound like listen, I ain't talking about me. I'm not saying it makes sense here. I'm saying, God, you can have my mouth this morning if you want it, and he just told you the truth. Now, restoration is permitting God, now watch this, to identify the issue and to supply the solution. Anybody up for that one? We're going to let God identify the issue, whatever everybody's issues are, and then we're going to allow him to supply the solution. So if the issue is you're sick, we're going to pray for you. Do we have the solution? No. Don't even pretend to. But we do know where we're to walk, and that's in restoring all things. So here we go. I'm going to give you a little story here of a farmer. I am a farmer. As a farmer, restoration has many benefits. I'm going to use the kind of, if you're farming trees and stuff here. In a forest, the trees that are set can be a better quality as well as quantity. In other words, just say I got a forest. It's devastation. Tornado comes, wipes it out, destroys it. Say, oh, me, wow, that looks so bad. Bless his little heart. Here's what you got to understand when something's destroyed. You can plant back better quality trees than what was destroyed. Not only that, you can plant more of them. All right, here we go. When a forest has been destroyed, it can have a greater impact after restoration has taken place. You can be sitting there and been an alcoholic. God will restore to you double. And you can have a greater impact since you were an alcoholic than if you weren't an alcoholic. That's true with homosexuality. That's true with anything that we live in our life. I can call it sin, but I'm going to say anything in our life that disagrees with God and God's will. That's what it is. Sin's just disagreeing with God's will. That's all. Anybody get that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why we want to do it, because our future in God's will is much greater than anything we think we can come up with is our will. What I'm giving you is a biblical narrative to the object. Now, let's watch it. When restoring the forest, it is important that the one restoring it has all the pieces. Or it can't be replanted, it can't be doubled if you don't give him the whole land, the whole piece. So when we come to the Lord, we give him everything we got. God, here's all my mess. Here's my forest. It's been been torpedoed by a tornado, and it's destroyed, but I'm going to give you my land, heart, and all. God says that's all I need. Why? Because God's in the restoration business. One reason the church can't accomplish any more than it does is because we can't get people to give the whole land. Is that all right? You got to give it all to God. That's not just a catchphrase. It's a reality. It's a true narrative into the object. Now, here we go. Supernatural restoration of the will of God. Here we go. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me the what? Okay, here we're going to move into something a little different here. It's called a willing spirit. God has a will, the will of God. We've been talking about it. But now we're going to discover if we want to get into the will of God, we must have a willing spirit. Would you agree? There's something that's required to have a willing spirit in this verse. Can somebody point it out to me? First things come first. What's the first thing? The first thing in restoration to be restored is joy. You gotta be kidding me. Does that compute with your brain? I thought I was to cry for 12 hours, go through this sackcloth and ashes. I need to repent. I need to do all this stuff for hours to convince you, evidently, because it's not to convince God. God wants repentance for sure. But it comes quickly behind that is joy. Now you see that? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. When you know that your salvation comes from God, you're going to have joy. Why do we not have any more spiritual joy than we have? It's because we have left the understanding of the restoration God's given us. It's joy. And I'm just going to give you this. Joy is the beginning of a willing spirit. There's a difference in a repentive spirit and a willing spirit. You repent, you move into joy, and the joy is the beginning of a willing spirit. So if you're sitting there with no joy, your spirit's not willing, you're welcome. Don't you love me now? It's the truth of the Word of God. It convicts me. I know what joy's like. I've had it before. You want me to tell you about when I had it or if I've got it? I want to be in the will of God. So this is a state of joy. This narrative that's out here in this world today and on the news is going to create everything but that.
Right?
I ask you again, which narrative do you want? Three sides, man, darkness, God. I present to you God. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. When you got the joy, it withholds you, it picks you up into this willing spirit to do the will of God. You can't do the will of God without the joy of the Lord. There you go. Just right there you are. You just can't do it. Or the Word of God's a liar. We could talk about that. But you'll have to do it without me. Now, restoration is to restore our divine relationship with God. Now, if your relationship is restored with God, how in the world, somebody pray tell, help me, you're not going to have joy. So if you don't have joy now, I know your relationship with God's hurting. Now that's just the truth, unless you just lost your mother or your father or something. Can you hear what I'm saying? Joy's a big deal. I wouldn't move on if y'all were happier about this. Thank you. I'll take it. Now, Acts 3:21. Heaven must receive him until the times for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Now, here's the idea here. God's people are to be restored before the earth. That's the way this thing works. We're to walk in restoration. Well, okay, you say, but Alan, I'm saved. Yeah, you've been saved out of hell. Surely to goodness you got more to your resume than that. Surely. At least be happy about it or something. We got to see that our resume's got to be more than just being saved from hell. I'm not diminishing that. That's huge. So he says, but the church is to walk in restoration before the earth's going to be. If you think the earth's going to be restored and then us, you're cuckoo. Come on. You've been on the dark side smoking pot or something. It ain't going to happen. So here we go. First thing to be restored in the will of God. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold within me your free spirit. Somebody see that? Free spirit. We should never be hopeless. So with joy comes freedom. It's the understanding, it's the narrative in your spirit that you've been set free. You got to be set free before you'll do these stupid things in the book. He asked us to do some crazy stuff. Pray for sick people, duck them underwater, and it's supposed to mean something. And I, come on, somebody. All of this stuff in this book looks crazy. Well, you got to have a free spirit to do this crazy stuff. And then what happens is God, the anointing comes, and I'm not going to get to the anointing. We should always be hopeful because that is the will of God. Anybody had their, is your hope going down a little bit? Come on. You see, the enemy's trying. I can't tell you how much faith you have, but I can tell you how much hope you have. Hope is the measuring stick unto your faith. Come on. A little bit of hope, your faith's coming down. A lot of hope, your faith's going up. Hope is the measuring stick unto your faith. Now here we go. Joy, gladness, and restoration all go together. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Anybody got that? Now listen, I'm saying words. Words is a narrative, but it has a meaning behind it. The spiritual meaning here. Joy is the explosion of the anointing. And I'm going to have to leave you there. Somebody told me, I think it's Brian, are you sure you're going to get done today on that? Now, yeah, I'm really going to work at it. I didn't get there. Now, I'm going to take you into this understanding if you're interested. Joy is the explosion of the anointing. Joy is the explosion of the anointing. I'd rather have somebody come up and pray for me if I'm sick and there's joy. There's a, they just can't wait till they get there and they're just like this. And you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to knock me over. I'd rather have somebody with the joy of the Lord in them to pray for me. And somebody come up and say, move over, bless God, I'm here to pray for the sick. I'd rather for the joy of the Lord to run me over and be healed. Why? Because joy is the explosion of anointing. Listen, church, you didn't know we were supposed to really and truly and honestly be happy, did you? We really are. We're really to be joyful. Why? Because it's a sign of the anointing. Who's the anointing? His name's Jesus. It's the sign of the anointed one. Okay. Have you heard everything I had to say? I hope so. I couldn't do it again if I had to. I love you. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day. Lord God, you know our deal. If there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I ask and pray that it'd fall to the ground and everybody'd overlook it. But Lord, anything that I've said of you, it is my prayer that it'll be quickened into our hearts. It's our prayer, oh God, that your anointing to be upon your people. That when people walk in this place or such a presence that the sick is healed just by walking through the door. That the lost comes under conviction just because they came into the presence of the people of God. Dear God, it's our prayer that everybody will believe and understand that everything's going to be all right. Because as they say, you got this. And we're in you and you're in us. Now, God, I pray that you'll deputize and you'll spiritualize and you'll heal the eyes and you'll do all the eyes to this group of people, that we could be a true manifestation of your presence and your spirit. Dear God, don't let any of us have bad attitudes of anger and all that mess this week and nullify our anointing. Dear God, help us to bring in and ring in our anointing and our anger and our accusations and our... Dear God, we don't have to have accusations because we're too busy declaring the will of God. So, dear God, I deputize and call forth and this group of people to be a prophetic group, a prophetic people that proclaims the will of God on this earth.
Yes.
And dear God, we'll see things change here and in this area. Why? Because somebody's proclaiming the will of God. It might look crazy, it might look idiotic, but we're going to proclaim the will of God because we believe it. And all of those that agreed said, amen. Amen. Now let's worship.